The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from Wright Memorial Public Library, Clark County Public Library, Tipp City Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Washington Centerville Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. It's my pleasure to welcome to the program today Kathleen Smythe. She has a new book out. It's called Bicycling Through Dayton, 21 Historical Tours. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Pleased to be here.
I understand this is your second book on bicycling. Can you tell us about the first one and what led you to write the second one?
Sure. Yes. The first one was Bicycling Through Paradise. Historical bicycling tours through Cincinnati and the wider Cincinnati region. And I co-wrote it with a good friend, longtime cyclist, and architect by profession, Chris Hamlin. And he was very much responsible for a great deal of the design that has followed into this book on Dayton as well. And the idea is to give armchair explorers, cyclists, local history buffs, an opportunity to think about their local history through some kind of a tour that's thematically connected. And the hope is to spur a greater sense of belonging in one's region, but also a sense of adventure that you don't really know what might be around the corner, either literally or figuratively, in terms of the people who might have been in this place before you, and some of their dreams and hopes and how those might still be found on the landscape in one way or another.
I understand that you are a history professor at Xavier University. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
And what is your area of expertise?
I'm trained actually as an African historian. So I teach African history here, and my first few books were on African history. I like to say that that background is foundational to everything I do, even if it doesn't seem apparent on the surface. So I bring sort of a globalized sense to my deep interest in local history here in Cincinnati and more broadly in Dayton as well.
My guest is Kathleen Smythe. Her new book is Bicycling Through Dayton, 21 Historical Tours. When I heard about this book from someone at Ohio University Press, I thought, well, this sounds really interesting, and I never expected to read a book that was so full of history. And then I realized, well, I'm interviewing a historian. By golly, I guess this isn't that surprising, but man, you really have a lot of history packed in here, and it's fascinating stuff. I really appreciated that aspect of this book.
That's wonderful to hear. The whole experience of both riding my bicycle with a D and writing with a T have been really exciting, and a sense of they've promoted a greater sense of discovery for me as well. You can probably sense in the chapters some of the rabbit holes that I've gone down. I found myself endlessly fascinated with wetlands and fens particularly, and drove up to Dayton to meet some of the men who were responsible for saving a lot of the water wetlands along Beaver Creek. And so I really use these projects as a way to just follow my own curiosity and answer questions that in some cases I didn't even know I had about where I live and why things are the way they are. So I really, these books are a labor of love, really. And I hope that others will deepen their sense of not just love of the region, but also wonder about it.
As an avid bicyclist, I'm assuming that the Cincinnati book was covering familiar territory, whereas with this Dayton excursion, this was pretty unfamiliar, and you must have really been surprised what you found.
It was definitely far, far more unfamiliar. I mean, I was certainly, the call to Dayton was obvious in terms of just the large cycling network, that's a trail network that's available there. But it was daunting, and that was one reason why my co-author, who wrote the Cincinnati book with me, took a bit of a step back. He was still a tremendous help with this book. But it was a little daunting since we both had lived in Cincinnati and had ridden our bikes around here for many years. But it was good to have had the model of working on the Cincinnati book. That was a great help. There were so many discoveries. One of the first ones was just how much the cycling network, the trail network, is due to one of the seminal events in Dayton's history, which is the Great Flood of 1913. And one of the responses to that was to build levees. Another one was to build 5 gargantuan dams that are remarkably effective to this day. But those levees enabled folks who were then sort of outdoor enthusiasts decades later to start building a trail network on public land rather than having to struggle to get the rights of trespassing on private land to build that network. So that was one of the first discoveries, and there were just so many more after that.
And the mastermind behind that flood prevention, Arthur Morgan, was a former president of Antioch College here in Yellow Springs, where he was also considered a visionary. And you have a fascinating history of Antioch College in here. And I thought I knew a lot about Antioch College, but I'm guessing you talked to Scott at Antiochiana and got an earful from him.
I did indeed. Yeah, he was super helpful. And that's the other thing is so many people were really helpful and gave us time, some of whom clearly appear in the book and others who might be just in the acknowledgments. I, as a college educator, I'm deeply fascinated by higher ed, and the Ohio higher ed landscape is pretty unique in terms of the number of colleges we have, and most of them were founded, in the 1800s and early 1900s, and so I was fascinated by the close proximity of a number of different very small schools that have shared one similar thing, which is a bit of a struggle to stay alive for all sorts of reasons. But the fact that they're all still on the landscape and they all still do have a constituency strikes me as being very important.
I also learned a lot about Cedarville College, University, from your book as well. And you kind of juxtapose Antioch with Cedarville in that particular section. I am a bicyclist. I have never had a driver's license. I ride my bicycle at least 10 miles a day, every day, 364 days a year. And every day I come in on the bike path that comes from Springfield to Yellow Springs. So let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that trail. That's the one I'm most familiar with.
One of my favorite tours in the book does begin in Yellow Springs and goes up through Springfield. It's intimate environment, and certainly part of that trail where it's tree covered out of Yellow Springs, and then certainly part of it as you go into Springfield also feels very kind of closed in and intimate. Mm-hmm. But the trail then allows you to visit some sites in Springfield and then to get on the Buck Creek Trail, which I also think is pretty unique in the area just because it does follow a river, Buck Creek, and both the Little Miami and the Great Miami trails are wonderful in all sorts of ways and much longer, but they're not quite as intimate because the river tends to be further away. The river is larger, but the trail right along Buck Creek, it feels like you're very close to it and sort of experience it in a deeper way. So, I love that ride between Yellow Springs and Springfield, and I appreciate the connections that it enables us to have further north as well.
If you're just tuning in, my guest is Kathleen Smythe. Her book is Bicycling Through Dayton, 21 Historical Tours. You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, sharing community voices through inspired storytelling. You have a number of points of interest, places that we might want to visit on these bike rides, and I had never heard so much information about the Westcott House in Springfield until I read your book. This was fascinating.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a freakish fan of Frank Lloyd Wright. I recognize all the personal warts and the complications that come with the genius that he was. And yet, I do find that this idea that both he and Christopher Alexander have, that I note in the chapter, that to be human is to create and to build part of your own environment. And that doesn't mean you have to design your own house, but this idea that we would partake in creating our own environments, I think, is a pretty powerful one. And so I think trying to get inside a little bit the minds of people who would hire somebody like Frank Lloyd Wright to build their house, and understanding the niche that the Westcott family occupied as technologies were rapidly changing and consolidating in the agricultural industry. For me, it was just a fascinating juxtaposition of sort of important and influential people at a pivotal time in our in Dayton's history, certainly in our country's history.
And I see that your colleague and your co-author on the previous book took a lot of the photos in this one, and there's some beautiful photos. And on the cover, you have a very familiar sight to those of us here in this area around Yellow Springs. You have a very nice photo of the Clifton Mill.
Yeah, isn't that gorgeous? Yeah, Chris Hanlon is a very gifted photographer. Yeah, so he took a lot of them for me.
And did you actually have to ride all of these trails to do this? I mean, this is amazing.
Oh, yes. I mean, I rode all of them at least once and often twice. And I... when we did the Cincinnati book, Chris and I took each about half of the tours and, you know, designed them and wrote the history behind them. And then we would take each other on the tours and sort of talk each other through what we thought were the themes and what we thought we wanted to say to our readers and our explorers. And that was just such a fruitful process to be working through the material as we were actually cycling. And I wasn't able to do that quite as much this time with Chris for very understandable reasons. And so I recruited a lot of my cycling friends to join me as I scouted routes. And we would do some of the same kinds of discussion. I would share what I thought was developing and what I thought some ideas were. And I have friends with all sorts of strengths, strengths at wandering and finding things that are off route, and friends who are historically curious and ask me great questions. So, the discovery process of writing the routes, stopping at places, talking to people along the way in both books was an enormous part of the, it's very time consuming, but it's also a great deal of fun.
We learn a lot about a lot of different things in Ohio history in this book. And one thing that was particularly intriguing to me was the history that you relate of how the native tribes were removed. And this one Indian agent, was it John Johnston? He's in there a lot.
Yes, he is. Obviously, his home is now an Ohio Historical Society site. You can visit, you can tour the home. But yes, he was, as a young man, left the East and came out to this territory and worked as a factor or an agent. And so as the Shawnee and the Wyandot and others became increasingly marginalized and dependent then on what is the nascent U.S. government. The U.S. government hired men like Johnston to act as, more narrowly to act as trading agents, but more broadly, they were really intermediaries between the U.S. government and these peoples who had been on the land long before the colonists came. And John Johnston is one of those historical figures that allows us, I think, to see the messiness of our past, because he knew Shawnee and he was in many ways respected by the Shawnee. But at the same time, he was pretty clear in his head and his heart that his government and his people could not coexist in the same area with the Shawnee long term. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for me to imagine being him and holding all of that in my one person. But it seems that that was part of who he was. And I think those moments even though we all know the tragic history that followed, I think those moments are still very important to kind of hold for a while and to consider that it perhaps always wasn't so black and white.
You also recount what happened in a murder trial that I had never heard about and a very surprising verdict for the time.
Yes. So Johnson was called in to make sure that the case was actually tried. It was across the border in what is now Indiana. And I believe five Native Americans, indigenous people had been murdered by a settler, a colonist, and the murderers were actually, there were multiple ones of them. They were brought to trial, and it was due to Johnston's really insisting that the trial happen, that they were first brought to trial and then actually found guilty. So yes, it stands as a, unfortunately, as an unusual incident in the history of our relationship with the indigenous peoples, but it also gives us a glimpse into what at times was possible.
My guest is Kathleen Smythe. Her book is Bicycling Through Dayton, 21 Historical Tours. And she has some events coming up. She will be at the Clark County Public Library on May 13th at 5:30. She will be there to talk about the book, Bicycling Through Dayton. And she has an event coming up in June, and she will be at the Second Street Market. And she has a book signing there from 11 until 2 o'clock. And after that, there's going to be a bike tour. You're going to be leading a bike tour. Tell us about this.
I will, yes. It'll be an urban ride. Sunday should be a good day to occupy some of the city streets without having to worry too much about traffic. And I'll be combining a couple of sites from a couple of tours in the book. We'll look at a few sites from the public sculptures tour. We'll look at a site from the other Detroit chapter, which is about the early automotive industry in Dayton. So there'll be an opportunity to travel through the city by bike with a small group and some support, and also an opportunity to maybe go to a few places that you might not have seen otherwise. A few of them are off the beaten path.
In your section on Metro Dayton, you refer to the book Grand Eccentrics by Mark Bernstein. That is really a definitive book as far as looking at some of the geniuses and philanthropists and other people that came out of the Dayton area a century ago.
Yes, I completely agree. I was so, so grateful that he had done all that work. And he really did help to shape the way I thought about Dayton. You know, the story is that they had more patents per capita, right, than any other place at the turn of the century and the early part of the 1900s. And trying to flesh that out a little bit and think about why that might have been the case, he did a lot of that legwork. And I'm, deeply, deeply appreciative of his ideas and the way he has framed that era in Dayton's history. It's super helpful.
You mentioned early on wetlands. And I don't think most people who live in Ohio realize how much of Ohio used to be wetlands. I remember when I first heard about the Black Swamp being somewhat amazed.
Yeah. Yeah. I too have traveled that same path. Like, really? was really fascinated to, you know, I've ridden my bike, right, along Beaver Creek and, but I had no idea what I was riding along at all. And I started because I came across the statistic that Ohio had lost more wetland than any other state in the country except for California. And that, to me, seemed worthy of a little more attention. And then I realized that this Beaver Creek Wetland Association existed and looked at their maps and the information on site, and then contacted them, and they were enthusiastic about hosting me and taking me on a couple tours. And you just can't help but fall in love with the remnants of the wetlands that still exist and the consequences thereof in terms of the water supply for Dayton and all the efforts that are being made to conserve wetlands now. So loved learning about that, and can't wait until they have a trail that goes all along all of those.
Was one of the people you talked to Dave Nolan?
Yes. Dave Nolan, he was one of the, Jim Amon and Dave Nolan both were a tremendous help with this, and both of them read that chapter for me after I had drafted it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the challenges of doing something like this, is I am far out of my, you know, I'm a historian, yes, but I do not know all history with the same depth or expertise, and so I relied on a number of people, fellow historians. Another one, Becky Johnson, helped me with the chapter on surveying lines on the ground, just to make sure that I was getting not just the big picture, but some of the details as accurately as I was able, given the evidence and the information we have available to us now.
This is quite a book. It's Bicycling Through Dayton, 21 Historical Tours. Kathleen Smythe wrote it, and it's published by Ohio University Press. And just a really beautiful book. Everything about it is so high quality. How long did it take you? How many years did you have to ride these bike trails before you had all this ready to go?
That's a great question. My folder on my computer that shows when I started this project was 2019. So it was about 5 years in the conceptualization and writing and riding process. And then the book also was, I owe a great deal of debt to the University of Cincinnati Press, which first took on the Cincinnati book and had the vision to put the turn-by-turn directions online, which allows the book, like the one you have seen, to be smaller, right, and to feel more like a guidebook and to be left at home and not have to be taken on your bike ride if you don't want to. And I too am very pleased with the quality of this Dayton book and what Ohio University Press has done, as they've taken over this title and some others with the closing of the University of Cincinnati Press.
I see you've got a handy QR code in here. How does that work?
Yeah, so if you just take a picture of that, it will take you to a story maps site, which is ArcGIS technology. So it allows us to add additional photos that are pinned to a map, and then it allows us to put on, through Google Maps, turn-by-turn directions so that you can download all of that onto your phone and use it for routing as you take on one or more of these tours.
Yahoo! Technology does something good for once. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great combination.
Okay. Well, Kathleen, this is really fascinating. And I'm wondering, out of these 21 historical tours, if you had to pick a favorite, which one would it be?
Well, that's a great question. I like a lot of them for different reasons. So I think, as I've already said, that Intimate Environments one, the ride is just so peaceful and lovely, and I really appreciate that one. But I also, the content of the Speaking Out tours, which we haven't talked that much about, but which look at folks who had a lot to say, either in media or mostly in print, some names you might have heard of, like Paul Lawrence Dunbar and others that you might not have, Natalie Clifford Barney. Those two chapters allow us to travel to places like Bellbrook and Centerville, and then back to Xenia. So I like that's an interesting set of chapters. It's one tour, but with two chapters that look at different historical figures. And then probably the Dammed Water and Great Trails, just because of the history and the legacy that flood has left in Dayton, the positive legacy in many ways, I think is pretty remarkable.
I've done a number of interviews with Herbert Woodward Martin, who's considered, by me at least, to be the leading interpreter of the poetry of Paul Lawrence Dunbar. And during all those interviews, I never heard him mention any of the sad, tragic, terrible things that happened to Dunbar. And then I read your book and I was like, oh my, I had no idea that he had to go through that.
So most of that is due to a relatively new biography of him. So again, I tip my hat so much. None of this work is, my original historical work. I'm standing on the shoulders of dozens and dozens of other historians and scholars who have put this work together. So a lot of that is due to the work of this new biography.
Well, before I let you go, let me mention these events one more time. They're coming up on May 13th. Kathleen will be at the Clark County Public Library in Springfield at 5:30 to talk about the book, and I'm assuming you'll be signing copies as well. And that is it for National Bike to Work Week?
Yes, I will be signing books, and it's a great week to do a bike book event.
Well, I celebrate National Bike to Work Year all year long.
Great, I love it.
And you're a big bicyclist, aren't you?
I am, yes. I love it.
Yeah. And what do you think of these electric bikes?
Well, I think that as long as we can figure out how to keep everybody safe, that they're wonderful. They'll allow people to remain bicycling probably longer than they might have felt comfortable doing so otherwise. And I think it's a great technology.
I agree. But the ones that set them so they speed scare me to death.
Well, that's with all technology, a little bit of regulation goes a long way.
On June 7th, Kathleen will be in Dayton at the Second Street Market from 11 until 2 o'clock for a book signing. And then she will be conducting a bike tour after that, an hour-long bike tour in Dayton. And let's see, June 7th, I bet you the weather will be perfect.
We can only hope.
So you've got that all planned out?
The tour?
Yeah.
I do have it sketched out. I used to teach a class taking students on some of the routes from the Cincinnati book. I would still be teaching it if I had students interested in it, but I couldn't find enough students who were consistently interested in it. But at any rate, what I learned from doing that is that it's really helpful to have someone who can be a co-leader and help keep everyone together through lights and safe and address mechanical issues. So I will have someone there with me to help facilitate all that so I can focus on interpreting the sites and helping folks to imagine what buying the book and doing some of the tours in the book might be like.
Just make sure they give you a microphone.
Right. Well, I'm a teacher.
Oh, okay. Hey, well, you are a teacher. And I learned a lot from your book, Kathleen. This is a lovely book. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. I really appreciate the chance to talk a little bit more about it. And I'm happy to hear that that you learned something from it.
I learned a lot. And I'm very impressed. The book is Bicycling Through Dayton, 21 Historical Tours. Kathleen Smythe wrote it. She's been my guest. Joining us on the phone in Cincinnati, Ohio. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis. Thanks for tuning in.